And so when I think of Christmas, I think of the coming of my King. Why do I celebrate Christmas? Because it's the fulfillment of God's promise. Because I recognize that God has come to be with us, Emmanuel. Because it brought forgiveness for my sin. Because it is a recognition of God's indescribable gift. And because He's my King. He's my King.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Why Christians Celebrate Christmas.
My heart was a little heavy this past week. And as a matter of fact, as I come today, my heart is a little bit heavy. Some communications that I had last week were very disturbing. One communication that I had was in reference to an individual who was a Christian. And he actually takes his family away during the Christmas season because he doesn't want them to have anything at all to do with Christmas and celebrating Christmas. But perhaps the thing that weighed down my heart the most, and I think that this might be characteristic of a lot of people today, is there was a guy I used to work out with. And, you know, we would be together every day in our workouts. And, you know, through that, I found out that he was a Christian, that he was a child of God. And I saw him in the gym. I believe it was either Thursday or Friday. And I went up to him, and I said, "Merry Christmas." And he said to me, he said, "Bill," he said, "I don't celebrate Christmas." And just something in my spirit dropped at that time. And as we continued to talk, you know, I began to hear his heart as to why he didn't celebrate Christmas. And he started running all these things by me as to why he didn't celebrate Christmas. And many of the things that he said, I already knew. And he was trying to think of some things in Scripture, and he really didn't know where it was in Scripture. And actually, I ended up telling him the very arguments that he was trying to make. You know, I was telling him where they were found in the Word of God. And just upon those two interactions, one of the things that I found out, and up until this year, I guess it really didn't stick in my spirit, but come to find out that there's a lot of Christians. I'm not saying atheists. I'm not saying agnostics. I'm not saying unsaved people. There's a lot of Christians that don't celebrate Christmas. And I think that if we as believers, if we as God's people don't redeem Christmas, I think it's going to be lost to commercialism. It's going to be lost to and meshed in with the world. You know, it's like a lot of these schools, and I'm not going to call any schools in particular, but a lot of the colleges that actually started out on a Christian foundation, adhering to biblical principles, and that through time and through the change in leadership, they became liberal, and now they don't stand for anything as far as God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, or anything. And so it's just now, you know, some of these universities are just that. They're just universities, and they've lost their biblical, their Christian distinctive. And I think that if we, as Christians, don't redeem this time, that it's going to be lost. You know, I mean, and you look at our society and where our society is heading, and then when you think about Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they say, "I don't celebrate," you know, as time goes on, what chance does Christmas have in surviving? So the Lord put it in my heart to share, because I already had another message shared, and I was going to talk about. But as a result of that interaction, the Lord put it in my heart, and I began to think about why Christians celebrate Christmas. Why Christians celebrate Christmas. Now, If you go to that next slide, many Christians don't celebrate Christmas because it's associated with a pagan holiday. And that's true. And one of the things that this guy tried to tell me was that, Bill, you know, I don't celebrate it because it's a pagan holiday. And I already knew what he was, talking about. And so I think that if we as Christians don't understand this, then when we get into these confrontations, you know, we're not going to know what to say. Christmas is associated with a pagan holiday. It's associated with the holiday, the Roman holiday called Saturnalia. And this is where the Romans actually worshiped Saturn, who was the god of agriculture. And so the church came along and they saw, you know, all these individuals worshiping this pagan god and on this pagan holiday. And so they said, you know, let us, as believers, because, you know, if you go back and you know your history, not only your church history, but your history in general, you know that Constantine became the emperor. And one of the things that Constantine did was Christianize Rome. And when he Christianized Rome, one of the things that the church leaders came together and said that instead of us celebrating this pagan holiday called Saturnalia, we're going to recognize December 25th as the birth of Jesus Christ. So if somebody comes to you and say, which is what this brother came to me and said, he said, Bill, you are celebrating a pagan holiday. And so, you know, we need to know that as Christians, that for the first 200 centuries or 300, Christianity or the Christmas was not celebrated. It was not until the 3rd and 4th century that the church instituted Christmas. And so we can look at that and we can become discouraged and we can say, well, because Christmas is associated with a pagan holiday, I'm not going to celebrate it. So I'm here to talk to you this morning about why Christians celebrate Christmas. If you go to that next slide. Now, we got into this conversation. You know, needless to say, my workout was cut short that morning. We got into this conversation that Christmas trees are idols and you shouldn't have a Christmas tree. As a matter of fact, when I was on the radio this past week and I was talking about the myths of Christmas and I started dispelling a lot of myths that surround Christmas, the lady who was doing the interview, she said, now I guess next you're going to tell me I can't have a Christmas tree. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you that because I got one in my house and we got one in the church, so I can't, yeah, I can't say that. And so a lot of people look at the passages, a passage in Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 20, and then Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 16, that talks about cutting down trees. Now watch this, cutting down trees and decorating trees and worshiping those trees. And so people take those passages right there and they say, well, see right there, you know, this shows that whenever you have a Christmas tree, that you are actually celebrating the pagan holiday and you are worshiping an idol. But and I'm going to ask this question. And again, this might not be a strong argument for some, but I'm going to ask this question. How many people, after you put up your Christmas tree and you decorate it, that you stand in front of it and bow down and say, Almighty Christmas tree, we worship you. Okay, I didn't do that. You know, and I don't think that, you know, anybody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, and mind, I don't think that that's what they do. So, now, you know, there's been years I haven't put up a Christmas tree because, you know, just didn't have time. And so there's people that don't put up Christmas trees. There's nothing wrong with that. If you decide to not put one up, that's fine. But if you put one up, I would just say this. You know, don't let anybody put you on a guilt trip. You know, don't let anybody tell you that you are cutting down a tree, you are decorating it, and you are worshiping an idol. Because if you go back and look at those two passages, that was the gist of the passage. That once they cut down the tree and once they decorated it, they worshiped it. They turned it into a god. And so that's the prohibition there. So having a Christmas tree, as some would tell you, is not a form of idol worship. Now, there are other things that have been associated with Christmas that people, again, take back to the pagan traditions. The one is lighting candles. And during pagan celebrations, they would light candles to drive out evil spirits. That was one of the reasons they did it. And then they would ring bells in the pagan tradition, and the reason that they rang the bells was to try to stay off the cold and the darkness. And then another thing that they would do is they would, now they wouldn't necessarily give gifts to each other, but I was reading one tradition where they actually worshiped the goat and they gave gifts to the goat. And so these were some of the things that the pagans do. And so people will say, well, look, how can you celebrate Christmas when there's a lot of pagan rituals associated with this? And so a lot of Christians from this standpoint, they choose not to celebrate Christmas. But, you know, again, and this is what I told the guy that I was talking to. I said, well, you know what, Christmas for me is a time when I worship Jesus in my heart. It's a time when I acknowledge him. And you know what he told me? He said, Bill, he said, that's just a cop-out. And so, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, this brother was just so adamant about it that, you know, no arguments or nothing that I could say to him was going to change his mind. So when I look at these things right here, you know, when I light candles, you know, my wife had these little Christmas trees with lights in them, and we put them in our windows. You know, it wasn't to drive out any evil spirits. You know, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, lighting up. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. You know, he said that for this reason, he came into the world, that he might bring light to chase the darkness away, in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. So when I have a light, when we light the Advent candles, I don't think that we lit these candles to drive away evil spirits. You know, we lit the candles to recognize the fact that Jesus came as the light of the world. And even when, you know, we ring bells, you know, you ring the bells as a believer, not to drive out the forces of the cold and the darkness, but you ring the bells because you are welcoming the spirit of Christmas, the fact that the Savior is born, the fact that Jesus came, and these bells are making a joyful noise unto the Lord. So again, you know, the brother would have told me, well, yeah, that's just a cop-out, you know, again. And then we give gifts. And why do we give gifts? Well, you know, we can look at the scripture and see the main reason that gifts are associated with Christmas is because of the wise men. And that when the wise men came, you know, they brought gifts. So again, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, you know, a lot of people will tell you that there were three wise men. So the Bible doesn't say there were three wise men. It just says that there were wise men. So there could have been two, or there could have been way more. If you go back and you study, you know, wise men in the culture, you know, you look at the fact that a lot of times they had entourages, and that when they traveled with these entourages. And so, you know, now this is in my reasoning, right, if it was just three, you know, they could have kind of crept into town, you know, found out where Jesus was at, and then left. But what happened? They drew attention. This is what leads me to think that there was a whole bunch of them. They drew attention. And Herod saw all these wise men. And it drew his attention. Why? Because he felt threatened because he was the king. And so he said to the wise, well, hey, when you find out where he's at, let me know so I can go worship him too. So, you know, that leads me to think that, you know, that these wise men caught the attention of the city and even of Herod. And they went to Herod, but, you know, there was something about that. So again, you know, there was more than three wise men. But I like 2 Corinthians. You go back to that previous slide. I like 2 Corinthians 9:15, where it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You know, and Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that we can receive. There's no gift that can compare to Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we celebrate gift-giving not only because we see it in the wise men, but we also see that God gave the greatest gift. And so, you know, as I give a gift, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, and we should think about, man, you know, God gave me his great gift. Let me share gifts, you know, with other people. So now here's the next reason why a lot of Christians are not associating with Christmas. It is because it is so commercialized. And so a lot of Christians say, well, you know, it just has become so commercial that I don't want to have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, I was doing some research and found out that the average adult Christian, the average adult Christian will spend $830 this year on Christmas gifts. That's the average. Some of y'all might say, well, I'm not an average, so you know, the people I'm giving gifts to are not going to be blessed like that. But the average, according to the financial reports, will spend $830. So, you know, if I'm a Christian and I see this, then I could become so adamant that I want to move away from that I begin to say, well, I'm not going to associate with Christmas at all because it has become too commercialized. And, you know, I think that, you know, there are some people that, you know, they don't celebrate Christmas, and then they will say because it's associated with pagan holidays and all this and that. And I think that the driving force in their heart is not the fact that it's associated with pagan holidays, but the fact is that you don't want to give a gift to anybody. You know, you're just too cheap and stingy. You'll hold a dollar until it hollers, right? So you just found a good reason, right, to say, well, I don't celebrate Christmas, because you're just stingy. That's why you don't celebrate it. All right. So, let's be honest, saints. This is a very good point right here. Very good point that it has become so commercialized that we lose the meaning. And that's what I'm saying, that if we as Christians don't hold on to Christmas, if we don't hold on to it, it's just going to get lost in the morass of everything else. And then it'll just be, you know, something that we do on December 25th. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's already not even called Christmas season anymore. It's called the holiday season. That's why, you know, when I go shopping, I make it a point to say to people, Merry Christmas. And a lot of people say Happy Holiday. I say Merry Christmas because that's what I'm focusing on. That's what I'm focusing on. So as we look at the idea of celebration, Why should Christians celebrate Christmas? Why should we? You know, some Christians are making a good argument. They're making a very good argument. It's associated with pagan holiday activity, too commercialized. But why should we celebrate? Well, the meaning of the word celebration is to observe a notable occasion with festivities. To observe a notable occasion with festivities. Now, my mind always goes back because, you know, it says that we should do like Jesus did, okay, that Jesus is our example. So my question is, did Jesus celebrate noble occasion? Well, yeah, he did. He went to a wedding. He celebrated that. As a matter of fact, he turned water into wine at the wedding, right? Now, we can argue and debate whether it was, you know, fermented or not fermented. That's not my point this morning. You know, actually, I got a teaching that I do on it. If you want it, I'll give it to you. Was the wine fermented or unfermented? But he did go to this wedding, and he did celebrate. In John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. If you go back and look at that, well, let's look at that passage. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And he celebrated Hanukkah, a.k.a. Festival of Lights, a.k.a. Feast of Dedication, John chapter 10. And so we know that Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday that they are celebrating this time of the year. So we see in John chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. So this is Hanukkah. So if you go and, you know, look up, if you Google, I know many of you, while I preach, you Googling. So if you Google Feast of Dedication, you will see that it's also referred to as the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. And look what happened. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. So Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Jesus also celebrated Passover. And Passover was the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. And Jesus celebrated that. Matthew 26, verses 17 through 19. That's where he instituted the Lord's Supper. So there's no question that Jesus celebrated notable occasions. Now, is the birth of Christ a notable occasion? Amen. Now, if you don't believe that, let me just run this through. 13 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the birth of Christ. It was promised through the seed of Abraham. It was promised through Isaac. He was to come out of the tribe of Judah. If you continue on. He was born in the family of Jesse. He was born in the house of David. This is number six is absolutely astounding. That 600 years before Christ was born, Micah prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. He was born of a virgin. Isaiah prophesied that he would be worshipped and presented gifts by kings. That the shepherds would worship him. We read that in the Psalms. That there would be weeping for the children of Rachel. And we see that in Matthew chapter 2. That he would have to, his parents would have to flee into Egypt. That he would be called Lord and that he is the Son of God. So these are 13 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the birth of Christ. So I think that we have to agree that the birth of Christ is a notable occasion. And what is the definition? Can you go back to that definition, Brother Chuck, of a celebration? To observe a notable occasion with festivities. Well, if the Old Testament said that so much about the birth of Christ, to me that's kind of notable. And I think that it ought to be celebrated. Now, you know, the thing is, again, I'm not trying to bust anybody's bubble, but the fact of the matter is that Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. You know, there was a man by the name of, I think his name was Judas Africanus, and he tried to estimate. He went back and figured some stuff out, and he figured out that it was around December. Many people believe that Jesus was not born on December 25th for two reasons. Number one is that it was during the winter time, and shepherds would not have been in the field during the winter. So they would have probably been, you know, had their sheep, you know, somewhere else. And they wouldn't have been out in the fields during the winter. And the second reason is because Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to be taxed. And the chances are that, you know, Mary being pregnant, Joseph, that they wouldn't have been required to travel during the winter months. And so this leads us to believe that, you know, Jesus was not born on December 25th. And the fact that the shepherds were out in the field probably means that he was born in the spring of the year, or maybe into the summer. So again, not trying to crush your ideas and your thoughts about Christmas, but I think, and I know, hopefully I get an amen on this. I think that whenever it is, whether it's May 12th or June 15th, that Christians should take out a day to celebrate the birth of Christ, you know, whenever it is. I mean, if we just took another day, it's in the summertime, then that would be fine with me. But you know, the church of the past has decided to do it on December 25th. Hey, I have no problem with that. Yeah, I know it's associated with a pagan holiday. Yeah, I know it's associated with pagan. I know all that, but I still think.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Why Christians Celebrate Christmas, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.